All right, hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the chaplet. We'll pray for our country. I want to pray for all those who suffer loss, who mourn, those who God will call home today. We don't know the day or the hour, do we? I want to share a quick email before we begin. This just came from a listener who's tuned in to the first hours. We were talking about the moral equivalency that we're seeing in the culture and ultimately what the root of this problem is. And Connie says, look, I love your show. I love the segment today on guns. I thought I was listening to our Power St. Martin de Porres. Our Power St. Martin de Porres in Yerba Linda began a St. Difna mental health ministry. And I think that's a great start. And I think this is, everyone should have this. She went through this whole thing. Teachers have a huge part in seeing kids and teens potentially who have mental illness. The problem is, where do they refer these kids? I think it's such an important issue. Let's pray for mental health today, too, because I think at the heart of so many of these issues is deep woundedness, right? The children who come from broken families have been bullied, that have mental illness. And today, you know, I often invoke a litany of saints. Today we'll call upon St. Difna. All right, let's remember to ask her to intercede for us in a special way. So if you have anyone suffering from mental illness today, anyone who is suffering from suicidal ideation, who is thinking about hurting themselves in any way, anyone who is crippled by depression or anxiety or just any sort of ailment, which today I just ask you to heal the mind and I ask you to heal that soul. We ask for healing of our country as well. Beth is praying with me today. It's always good to have her here. Beth, anything you want to lift up or pray for before we begin?
Just for all those who are grieving a loss or mourning a loss.
All right, great. Here's an email that came in today, too. This person said to me, I'll keep his name anonymous. He says, I'm a former priest. I'm a former religious order priest. I've been laicized for over 30 years, then married, and I was divorced after 20-plus years. Drew, I simply ask that you remember the priests who have left the ordained ministry today in the Holy Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You know, some of our brothers in the faith are very broken and hurt men. And I know several men who have walked his path. I know several men who are priests and who are no longer priests today. And I want to pray for them. I want to pray for anyone discerning vocations. I want to pray for all priests because Satan hates them. There is a special hatred that he has for priests. He knows their weakness, and he certainly wants to exploit that. And before we start, let's thank God, too, for the many answered prayers that are coming in here today. We're getting so many. This person wrote to me, says, Drew, I got a call about a job opportunity. I had an interview, and I landed the job. This was an intense interview, which I was prepared over a week's time. I was praying the Divine Mercy Chapel and the Rosary, went to Mass, attended confession in the Eucharist. I believed and I trusted in our Lord and Mary, and I asked for the guidance as I prepared for the interview. It was because of the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Rosary that I was able to secure the job. I truly believe that. I gave it to God, allowed him to show me the way. I trusted in his will, and I was overwhelmed with joy at the news. I continue to pray, but this will be a tremendous help financially for our family. Please keep me and my family in your prayers, he says, and I'll keep yours as well. Let's pray for jobs today, too, and I love that. You know, God can open new doors, especially if you're underpaid right now or you're looking for work. You'll be surprised sometimes at the path God brings you. I mean, I'm sitting here today never, ever wanting to do talk radio. It was the last thing on my radar, the last. In fact, if you gave me a choice, it would be the last, and I could not be happier today. My father was a broadcaster, and when I grew up, he did radio, and I look at him, I think, I never want to do that. You know, TV's the future. You know, I thought I'd anchor television news somewhere. But I love radio. It's so many people have sold it out as a dying medium, but it has survived. Television has survived the internet. It'll be around a long time because it's intimate and we're connected. And where can you pray interactively like we're about to do right now? No other place than the radio like this. And I'm so happy for you joining me today and for your support of Relevant Radio and for allowing this chaplet to continue. And God's working through it in a powerful way. Let's pray for you now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Jim's been hanging for a while. He wants to join us. He's praying in Minnesota today. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how can we pray for you?
I'd like to have prayer said for my brother-in-law, Steve. The last couple months, he found out that he has a liver and kidney issues, and they just haven't been able to really do anything for him, and he's starting hospice, and it doesn't look like it'll be, you know, a long time, and we're going to lose him. Just today, the priest is coming to visit him, so right in this hour, so I just really wanted to have prayer said on our prayer chain.
Jim, I'm glad you got through. I'm sorry. I really am. We'll pray for your family, especially your brother-in-law. And let's put him in the hands of the Lord. Lord, I don't know your will. We all, you know, one day we'll meet you. One day, be perfectly united. One day, we will hopefully enter paradise. And I pray for Jim, for the hour that you call him. But if it be your will, and if in your mercy you'll extend compassion and more life so that this family can be with this man, then we pray for that as well. Pray for a peaceful and a beautiful death, if that's your will. But I do pray for your healing, and I never limit you. I always hold out a big cup. You've raised from the dead. You can certainly bring Jim back to full health, restoring those vital organs. And I pray for anyone having issues today with their organs. I bring them to you, Lord, and I ask as divine physician for that divine touch, for that healing as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And my call screener, Patrick, is notifying me that there's been some news. I'm just learning this right now that Joe Garcia, he's the husband of Irma Garcia. She's the teacher who was shot and was killed. Joe just died of a heart attack earlier today. And I want to pray for her soul and especially for him. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Lord, I just give you these tragedies. I don't know what the solution is. We pray for life. We pray for mercy. We pray for new beginnings and healing, Lord. We pray for love to prevail over the hatred and division in the world today. And I know you hear this prayer. I know it's a prayer you want to answer, Lord. And I just, as you set in the motion today, those things. Tony is praying with us in Lakewood, California. Tony, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I need some healing. I have really bad carpal tunnel. I just seen a hand surgeon, and he said it's so bad that he can do surgery, but there's no guarantee they will work. And I have carpal tunnel on both hands, and they're very numb, and I can't sleep at night. So I want my Lord to heal my hands.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Somebody very close to me suffered from carpal tunnel, and I know it can be crippling. I mean, you can't sleep at night, as you point out, and when it gets really bad, it gets bad. Let's pray.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Go ahead. No, finish your thought, please. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, just saying. I said my name was Tony, but my birth name is Antoinette. I don't know if that makes a difference.
No, God knows your intentions. That's for sure.
Okay.
And we're going to pray for you. And, you know, there's a lot of people here that may suffer the same way. So I know they're going to be praying for you as well. Let's put our trust in God. All right. Let's do that now. And we'll ask God to reverse your condition. I'm going to pray for that. You know, I don't fret. Don't have anxiety about everything. In every circumstance, no matter what you're facing, and Scripture tells us by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, you know, we can move the heart of God. And I'm so convinced of that. You know, will God answer seemingly impossible prayers? Absolutely, right? God's sovereign. Doctors may say one thing, you know, your condition can change in an instant. We have to pray, believing for the impossible, trusting God, in letting him do the rest. And Lord, I know you bring good out of every situation, but I do pray for reprieve for this soul. So simple, so loving, and so trusting. And I pray for anyone who's having issues with mobility, anybody who's having trouble with their hands, anybody suffering from crippling arthritis, anybody with carpal tunnel, anybody with, you know, any issue that seems to be really limiting their functionality in their life. And I just ask for your touch. I ask for healing today. Let those floodgates of grace open. Let that healing grace reach these souls today. And Lord, when those healings take place, you know, again, please let me know. Write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Put answered prayer there, because I know God's going to hear a lot of these prayers. And Lord, I'm thankful for that as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our next call, let me bring Maggie in. She monitors our Twitter, and you can put your intentions there at Drew Mariani Show. That's our Twitter handle. And Maggie scours that. And, of course, we'll bring that to our prayer team every day. If you would like me to take your intentions with me on pilgrimage, I'll be heading to the Holy Land in October. And I promise I'll pray for you there. So you can do that by going to relevantradio.com/Drew. Relevantradio.com/Drew. Scroll past my podcasts. And you'll see a field. Just put the prayer intentions in there, okay? And whatever it is, they'll be with me. And every Mass, every place I visit, I will personally intercede and just ask God for his mercy on you. So a couple ways you can get your prayer into the team here and for our spiritual family. Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, we've got some breaking news that one of our Twitter followers sent us just before the chaplet. Two Nigerian priests and two boys have been kidnapped in northern Nigeria by unidentified gunmen as of yesterday. So let's pray for those kidnapped and for the kidnappers that they might have a change of heart. I'd like to lift up a personal intention today. It's my mom's birthday.
Yeah.
For blessings on her, and then also for my relative out in Montana, Meg, for the healing of her heart. Mary wrote to us. She said, for my grown children, including my son living with his boyfriend, and my other son, who has said that he is gay. Anna wrote to us and said, asking for prayers for healing and recovery from a stroke and other health issues. Carmela writes and says, for my Uncle Bill, that his health and sight might be restored. For my mom, Rosemary, that she can have clean scans and no cancer. For Jared, that his interview goes well today at 4 p.m. And for all of those who are away from the church. Goldie wrote to us and said, please pray for my three nieces who lost their father in a horrific motorcycle accident on Saturday.
His viewing
is today and the funeral is tomorrow. They are devastated. Let's lift up that family. And Cheryl wrote to us, she said, Cheryl is the one, Drew, the last couple of days I've read her tweets because she asked you first for prayers for her mammogram.
Yeah.
And then she was called in to have some more imaging and she said, I'm nervous, please pray. So she says, thank you for your prayers, Drew. I asked for prayers regarding my second mammogram that I had to have. Yeah. The results came back normal.
Such a
relief, but she still has panic attacks and worries a lot. So, let's pray for her.
And rightly so. I mean, you go, you have your mammogram, you get your test, and the doctor says, we need to talk to you. Come back in. I mean, well, my mind would go to the same place. They're not calling me in to have lunch. You know, they want to talk to me about something they found.
Right.
So, you know, I remember praying for that intention, and I'm just so glad. Another answered prayer. Yep. God is so good and so merciful. Maggie, those are heavy intentions from kidnappings to the loss of fathers and accidents. Lord, I implore your mercy. I don't have words other than just Jesu ufam tobi. Those are the words that the Lord asked St. Faustina to inscribe on the bottom of the image when he appeared to her. And it's Polish for Jesus, I trust in you. So that's all we have to pray. Jesus, we trust in you. We trust in you. We trust in you. Be merciful to all who are suffering today. Shannon is praying with us. She's in Haddon Heights, New Jersey. Hi, Shannon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love praying with you. I just am asking today for prayers, special prayers for this beautiful soul of my nephew, Shane Sweeney, who passed away a year ago today. He took his life. And just for comfort for my sister, Terry, and her husband and his sisters, and just for peace and comfort and strength for them, and also for all those who are in despair right now, just that they know that God loves them and everything will be okay.
Well, I am sorry for the loss your family's gone through. Suicide is a special pain. I mean, that's a wound that cuts so deep. Seems so senseless. And Lord, I pray for anyone having suicidal ideations today. I want to pray for those who've taken their life by suicide. I want to pray for the families that they leave behind. There's a couple that I know whose son had died, and they struggle with it every day. I just ask for that healing. We entrust to you the emotional pains that so many are going through as well. I just ask for healing today. May today be a day of an extraordinary healing, physically and emotionally and psychologically and spiritually. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Javier is praying in Austin, Texas today with our team. Hi, Javier. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I would like to leave my prayer intentions to the families that lost their kids. I pray for the shooter, that, you know, even, I don't know where he's at, but I pray that God grants him forgiveness because we don't know if he had psychological issues.
Yeah.
But I pray for all those kids.
It's all right, honey.
Sorry, man.
It's all right. It's okay. It touches us all very deeply. I'm grateful for your call. I am. I'm glad you brought this forward. But let's pray. I really think God, I know God hears the prayers of our heart, and he certainly is moved by our tears. You know, prayer that's most powerful is that prayer from the heart, from that's deeply moved. And Javi, I want to pray for you. All right, I want to pray for you, but I'm very grateful for you bringing this intention to us, for all those little children today who passed away, for their families. Again, we pray for consolation, right? And the charity, he started praying for the shooter. And I felt the same way. I don't know if you heard, I was talking in the very first hour of my show today just about how I saw this man. And they're often made out to be a villain. And there's no excuse for what he did. It was horrific. It was horrible. It's unimaginable. We need to pray for those who suffered loss of life. Clearly, this 18-year-old came from dysfunction. His family, he had no father. His mother was a drug addict. He was hopping between the mother and the grandmother's place. And he was bullied, from what I understand. He was a loner. And he was wounded himself. He was certainly in need of God's mercy and certainly needed some sort of healing. So I want to pray for his soul. I want to pray for his family as well. But Lord, I pray for all those stung, wounded, cut by tragedy and by death. And Lord, I just ask for healing for them and for this country. I just ask you be merciful to us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can get a couple calls in here too. Got an urgent one right now coming from Porterville, California. Sylvia is joining us. Sylvia, good afternoon.
Hi. Drew, thank you for doing this. You're a wonderful person, and I pray for all your intentions. But my dad, he went to drop off my son this morning and his friend and at high school, and we haven't seen him since 7:30 this morning, and he has Alzheimer's. Wow. And he did not wait for my mom. He just took off, and I'm asking all our prayer friends online right now. So now we can bring them back safely today.
Well, I'm going to pray for that. I want you to be at total peace here, okay? I'm glad you got through this prayer, and I say it all the time, Sylvia, right? We have these miracles that happen when people have gone missing, when people have even been kidnapped. They've been released. We want to pray for those priests who've been kidnapped. I want to pray for your father who has Alzheimer's. I want to pray for all those silver alerts that are going on right now, and pray for your family. Lord, I just ask right now for Sylvia's father that you allow someone to be able to come in contact with him and bring him home, or allow him to have that illumination, those moments of lucidity where he can make his way home and the family can be at peace. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what Proverbs 3:5 says. Don't lean on your own understanding. The Lord, he's going to be here for you. I want to sneak in Denny. He is that truck driver who we've talked about, who had that radical conversion. He was ready to commit suicide. He was going over a bridge, and his finances were so bad, he thought that he'd end it all so his family could have the insurance policy. And by God's providence, I don't know whether he had the radio on or how the signal came, but he heard a voice come through it and said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Your life has meaning. Don't do it." And he pulled over the bridge, and there he tuned in and he heard the message of Relevant Radio and has been a faithful listener ever since. And he is calling now because he has an urgent prayer request as well. Denny, thank you for calling. I hope everything's okay. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thanks, Drew. Long time listener. haven't called in a while, but
I've never forgotten your story.
It sounded like it. I haven't either. my wife hasn't either. And actually, part of the reason I'm calling is for my wife. Back in 2012, she was in a car accident, and now her feet and her back and her neck, they're all still giving her a lot of trouble, and it's getting worse as time's going on. So I've got a few that I want to quick ask for, and thank you. I have a child that's dealing with same-sex attraction. I have a son that's right now overseas in the Air Force, and another son that's possibly heading over the end of this month, early next month. And then I wanted to pray for our kids, spouses, future spouses, parents, grandkids, and for Relevant Radio. I appreciate Thanks. Everything that you guys do, and we've had a number of answered prayers through the chaplet.
Amen.
And
Well, it's good to hear your voice. I thought your wife was in an accident. That's what I thought I saw on my screen here. I'm glad she's not. But, Denny, let's pray for your children. Let's pray for your wife. Let's pray for your family. Let's ask for God's mercy there. Lots of calls here. And I know God knows all of your intentions. And, Lord, I give to you Alex and Martha and Tony and Renee and Sylvia and Javier and Mary and Marisol and John and Peter John and everyone that's on hold, everyone that's written to us, everyone just united in prayer now. We are a spiritual family here, and I know that this prayer has special resonance with God. So, Heavenly Father, we turn to you through the intercession of the saints, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesu ufam tobi. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Dimphna,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. I'll continue to be praying for you.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Listen to the wind
blow, watch the sun. That's a great song and a great album. It's good to be with you today. Hey, thank you for, thanks for joining me. It's always good to talk with you. How are you doing personally with where, you know, those gas prices are heading, huh? I saw the president the other day making comments about how, you know, gas prices are coming up, but this is all part of the pain we're going to feel in order to make this transition to renewables, right? I'm a little concerned, to be honest with you. I don't know where gas is going to end up. You know, I've got young adult kids. They, you know, it costs them a lot of money. They don't make a lot of money. You might be saying, wow, this is really cutting into the budget. And then I think back to the very first day that President Biden entered the Oval Office, and Joe Biden had been on this campaign against gasoline. The very first day, he issued an executive order shutting down the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, which it meant thousands of people lost their jobs overnight. You remember that? The oil markets, for the oil markets, it meant the oil futures would be scarcer, and it started driving up the price of oil right away. And ever since then, gas prices, they've gone nowhere but up, right? Take a look at a chart and see the, you know, see the trajectory this has been on. Now, drivers in every state in the union, you can't find gas less than $4 a gallon. I mean, it is way up there. But that's the first time it's ever happened. And if you live in California, you know, my heart goes out to you. Boy, you're really paying through the nose. The average price there is $5.55 a gallon. I know it's probably that I'm sure it's a lot higher in other parts of that state. But in Los Angeles, there's one gas station right now selling it for, now get this, $7.83 a gallon. I don't know how he can stay in business. How do you sell gas for $7.83 a gallon when the average is $5.55? A lot of the other gas stations in that area are paying about $6 a gallon or more. Now, you might be listening in the Midwest. You might be listening on the East Coast. Higher gas prices are coming. A number of experts have said that, you know, all that Biden has to do is, you know, go back to how former President Donald Trump was handling things. And under him, America gained energy independence. And as a nation, we were actually exporting petroleum products, including gas. But now we've become dependent on, you know, foreign oil again. And President Biden was even practically begging Saudi Arabia, remember that a few months ago, to open up their spigots to, you know, get a little more oil flowing to bring down the prices. We know that they've been dealing with Venezuela just recently, right? It's, yeah, if anybody does oil right, if you're worried about the environment, it is us. I mean, the protocols and the laws that we have, this is a place to do it. Earlier this week, we found out this might actually be part of a plan. Why not drill in America, right? Why can't you do anything to temper the cost of gas, the rising cost of energy in general? Because people are paying it not just at the pump. Your electric bills are going to be through the roof, your heating bills in the winter. The president was in Japan, and he gave a speech in which he said this. Listen.
When it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over.
So, in other words, the administration is actually working to make gas prices higher to make it less appealing to maybe encourage people to go to gas, you know, to renewable, well, the EVs, electric cars, right, electric vehicles. Again, when it comes to gas prices, he says we're going through an incredible transition. It's taking place, God willing, when it's over, we're going to be stronger, and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when it's over. That's the key part of this. Yeah, the first part I agree with. We're going through an incredible transition. It's a difficult time. Gas prices are up. We can get through this. We'll be stronger. We're on the other side. Yeah. But the hook here was we will be less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. And Alan, we're going to twist your arm a little bit. So in other words, you know, the administration, I don't think, has a problem with this. They haven't said anything to the American people about this. But that was a real tell to me. I'm joined today by Phil Flynn. He's senior market analyst and the author of The Energy Report at the Price Futures Group, also a contributor to Fox Business Network. You can learn more about him at pricegroup.com. That's pricegroup.com. He was with us just recently. It's good to have him back to tap into his expertise. Phil, again, thank you for making time.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and I wish it was under better circumstances. I don't like to tell everybody the gasoline prices have gone up 16 days in a row, but it's incredible. And taking the word from President Biden, it's incredible, the incredible transition. But you know what I think is great about what you just played? For the first time, President Biden at least admitted that the price increase is part of a great transition, and this has been planned out by this administration to drive up prices, and at least they've got that one thing that they're doing right, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing I thought you had told me before. Maybe it was a different guest. You know, I had heard gas prices are going to continue to go up. Of course, the administration's pointing to the war with Ukraine, calling it Putin's price hike, and a lot of other issues, but I heard gas could go as high as $6, $7, maybe $8 a gallon. Do you think we're going to see that here in the coming months? Is it a short-term thing? How long can America tolerate that?
You know, first of all, I don't think we're going to see that in the short term. You know, I actually think, and you can hold my feet to the fire on this, we might actually see gasoline prices level off.
I hope you're right.
Right on Memorial Day. I hope I am, too, because I'm getting calls from people that are feeling a lot of pain. And generally speaking, when you get this kind of a squeeze, it's partly due to refiners rolling over, getting ready for the high demand period. It's the lack of ability of crude oil. And generally, you have this big crescendo on the holiday. Refiners get caught up and prices level off or go down a little bit. Now, I'm not looking for a huge break back to $3 a gallon. It's going to take a lot more than that. But, you know, the sad part about this, Drew, is just a lot of this price increase, it was totally avoidable. You know, we basically voted for higher gasoline prices if you voted for President Biden. And the policies that have been put in place are showing up. And it's not just the Keystone Pipeline. It's not just a drilling moratorium. That's a big part of it. But it's this anti-investment in fossil fuel that being pushed that has closed down four or five refineries in this country. It has discouraged investment into fossil fuels and basically demonizing an entire industry that, you know, let's face it, is a major part of our economy.
You know, I agree with you. You know, I'm all about being a good steward of the environment. And if there was a way we could have renewable energy and cut down on carbon emissions, great. I'm all for that. But when you see this agenda, there seems to be a callousness and a lack of mercy or charity towards the American people. You know, to your point, when Biden went into office, he instituted policies that really were just, they're anti-energy during the very first few hours he was in office. He canceled that Keystone XL pipeline. Which my understanding is could have moved more than 800 barrels of crude oil per day from Canada to Texas. And they paused, you know, oil and gas leases on federal lands and canceled multiple federal oil and gas, you know, leases. And, you know, that's he has done nothing to help bring reprieve to this particular situation. And my question for you is, I mean, can we tolerate this for two more years, three more years? What do you think is going to play out in the days ahead?
You know, usually when we get these kind of price spikes, what happens is the economy says enough's enough, right? Yeah. People stop driving, people get laid off. We see companies go bankrupt, right? We can't afford gasoline prices. We have to shut the door. You know, I remember in 2008 when prices spiked up, you know, what did we have? We had a financial crisis. We had airlines that went out of business. We had bankruptcies. So that can be the end game. But I hope that we can avoid that with a reversal of policies. You know, we do have the midterm elections coming up. People are angry, and hopefully we can reverse some of these policies that have, you know, really caused this price spike.
Let's take a quick call or two. I'm going to have to take a break coming up here, too. But Maria is listening in Miami, Florida. Maria, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Phil Flynn.
Thank you for taking my call. And, you know, I am very happy that you and Relevant Radio bring out points that affect our country and the average American. I've been unemployed and out of work for a year now, and I can barely fill up my car. I am walking to the grocery store because I can barely, and my husband and I are both retired. He has a bigger retirement than mine. I had to get retirement before my age because of the need for money. And I am doing without certain food, the bare minimum. Yep. Wow. I eat yogurt, then I don't drink milk. And it's terrible because I cannot afford to put gas in my car. The president.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. Go right ahead. I'm really sorry to hear what you're going through. I mean, and Phil, to this point, let me bring you into it. This is un-American. I mean, we shouldn't have the elderly, those who are retired, those on fixed income, saying, well, I won't drink milk today because I can't afford it, you know, or I can't put gas in my car. I wonder how long it will be before most Americans either stop driving or there's some sort of recoil to this. As you point out, the midterms are going to be huge. I think there's going to be a bloodbath in these midterms. I think the economy is going to really be a big factor in that. But to somebody like Maria, I hate to hear those stories of somebody like that suffering financially and having to choose between gas and transportation or being able to eat.
And I feel for Maria as well. And you know, hopefully, Maria, there are hopefully some help, because for heating bills, electricity bills, gasoline bills, you know, I would try to, you know, call your neighborhood government, see if there's any help for you, because, you know, in these particular times, it really is incredible. And this is it. The energy transitions that we're supposedly going through was supposed to help save the world, but it's being built on the backs of the poor. And you know, these green energy companies are getting billions of dollars of tax credits to create energy sources that, let's say, aren't very reliable and are not very available to people like Maria. And because of this dramatic switch, without thinking about people like Maria, they end up bearing the cost. And, you know, President Biden says we'll be better off, you know, when this is all over. The problem is it might not be over for decades, and that doesn't help people like Maria.
That's so true. My guest today, Phil Flynn. When I come back, we will talk more. I only have him for a few minutes, so I'll go back to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 888-914-9149. Taking a look at where we are today, rising energy costs, gas prices at record levels at pumps across the nation. And we hear the president saying it's all part of the transition. So where does it end? We'll look at that and more. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Facts and faith over fear. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's such an important aspect of the conversation, right? You know, facts and faith over fear. We're not to be afraid. I mean, we have to put our trust in God. Things will get better, but we also, look, we've got to be responsible and accountable. We put into office men and women who advance policies that might be not good for the future of the country or for some of the most important issues of the day, like life, marriage, you know, the education of our kids. You know, it comes down to the voting booth, too. I mean, you need to be well informed and make sure that we put into office men and women who are well-formed. I mean, that's really the key. We're talking today, if you're just joining me, about the rising cost of gas and whether or not it will be the mechanism that will bring about a transition to renewables. The president came out and says, we'll get through this. It might be tough, but on the other side, you know, we're going to be better for it. It's not just gas. You know, we reported earlier in the week on the rising cost of food. There's a big wheat shortage going on around the planet, and there's a talk that a lot of different countries are going to be suffering in a big time way as a result of this war in Ukraine and Russia. High natural gas prices, they say, could lead to a spike in food costs. I'm joined today by Phil Flynn. It's good to have him here with me, and I want to get his expertise, the senior market analyst. And an author of the Energy Report at the Price Futures Group, Phil, food, I mean, it's not just gas, you know, gas at the pump. It's also the energy, the natural gas to the home as well that people may, you know, heat their home with or cook with, or it's energy at home. But it's also this natural gas price, from what I've been reading, is that it's directly related to spikes in food costs through fertilizer and other things. What do you see coming in the future in terms of food? And is it directly related to energy once again?
Energy is a big part of it, Drew. In fact, we saw natural gas prices today hit the highest level since 2008. We traded over $9 a million metric BTU, and that's something we haven't seen since the financial crisis. And that's usually a price spike in natural gas like that. It's usually in the middle of winter, right, when everybody's cold and prices are going up. But this is happening at a time of year, you know, because of shortages. Because the Biden administration, who happens to be against fossil fuels, has decided to send all our excess supply to Europe because they're in trouble because of Russia. And so natural gas goes into fertilizer. Fertilizer prices have skyrocketed. That means that farmers either have to plant less or plant different crops. So you have a lot of different scenarios. But it is definitely one of the reasons the UN said the food prices internationally are at the highest level they've ever been, and there's a real concern that these high prices could lead to starvation in very poor countries. So this is a serious situation.
That's tragic. All right, let's grab a call or two. I only have a minute or two left here. Judy in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi. I am concerned about the Biden administration because I didn't vote for them. Why don't they suffer like all the seniors or all the people that have to pay for their gas? They get fringe benefits, and yet they make all these rules. And they hurt the medical establishment. People are quitting early because of all this, too, you know. And everybody's trying to save their money on the 401Bs or 403Bs, too, as well. But in Minneapolis, we're fortunate. We're in the mid you know, part of the country where it's about $4.29 a gallon, which isn't bad yet.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
People that have to work and go 50 miles one way, that is bad. They're filling up their cars three times a week, and they got families to feed. And then the seniors, what we do is we just turn all our lights off at nighttime, and so you only watch TV. That's it, with no lights on. So I think that Biden needs to experience that. And I think all the Democrats, everybody that's in office needs to experience what we're experiencing.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
And that's all I want to say.
Thank you for your call. I mean, there is just a little bit of hypocrisy. Some of these people, John Kerry and the president, others, we're jetting all over the world. Now, granted, they are leading a country, but, you know, there is a big carbon footprint with some of those private jets and some of those flights that they take. And they tend to be pretty affluent. They may not, you know, what's $5 at the pump versus $3 to somebody who's pretty well off. Yet there are other people that is a significant hurt. It really impacts them in a profound way. Your thoughts, Phil?
It really is. I think John Kerry did put in energy efficient lights in his third house, so he's doing his part. I think, it does become. Listen, I mean, this green energy movement, what they call this ESG movement, you know, environmental, social governance, really is like a religion. True, I mean, it's not about science anymore. It really isn't. And I mean, if you look at what has made, you know, the Paris Climate Accord, for example, which is supposed to be the global movement to get off fossil fuels. It really, if you read the documents, it really doesn't do that much to reduce the temperatures. It's more about, you know, changing from one fuel source to another, but it really doesn't diminish the greenhouse gas emissions. Yep. And so when we're making these moves, you have to wonder who's behind this and why are they doing this? And listen, you know, and it has been the global warming situation has been sold as it's too late. If we don't act now, we can ask questions, you know, otherwise the planet's doomed. And I don't think that's science at all. I think the science doesn't back that up, nor does it back this energy transition that it can be done in a way that can allow people to live normal lives and not get into the situation where we're at now, where we're at risk of economic catastrophe, starvation, and shortages. It doesn't have to be this way, and we need to change it.
Now, Phil, I know you're a market analyst, but let me get your take on climate change, because it is directly related. All these policies are because people say the ice caps are melting, sea levels are rising. If we don't do something soon, there'll be no coffee in the Andes, there'll be no chocolate, and it's a concern for a lot of people. Yet I've had a meteorologist who is a commodity trader on the program, and he says to me, you know, carbon is not bad. When the planet warms, there is greater productivity in plant life and a whole litany of things along those lines. I have less than a minute. Your thoughts on that, if you could.
I agree, but I was not the sharpest kid in science class, so I'm just telling you, Drew, right out. But I will tell you this. I did learn one thing in science class, is that, you know, science is about making theories and then testing them out to see if they work. And then I asked them, why are they so worried about climate change when every prediction that they made 20 years ago has failed to come true?
So true.
It's in the Wall Street Journal. So if things are so bad, I'm still waiting for, you know, Florida-like temperatures in Green Bay. So let me know when that happens. I'm going to be there.
Hey, Phil, thank you for making time for us. Always good to have you. Check him out. You can do it online, pricegroup.com. Pricegroup.com. That's Phil Flynn, senior market analyst and author of The Energy Report, also contributor to Fox Business. I'll be back. Stay with me.